fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The New York Giants had their second preseason game of the season and their first real dress rehearsal as we got a chance to see Daniel Jones and what he's looking like in this supercharged or supposedly supercharged revamp offense. I'm going to tell you about it and much more. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a Giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of A Giant Issue. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. New York Giants on SI. That's where you can get all of your New York Giants news and information. Make sure you also hit a subscribe button. Hit the subscribe button for this podcast on the New York Giants on SI YouTube page. Make sure you follow my YouTube page at Coach Gene Clemens. We're getting closer to the season, which means we're going to be doing more stuff like this. And what is this? This is looking at and analyzing the film from the game. If you look up on New York Giants on SI, you'll probably find a story from me about Daniel Jones and every throw that he made during this game versus the Houston Texans. I think it was very interesting because it's a tale of two quarters. And it's a tale of two quarters that should give you some hope, but also should provide a little bit of trepidation. The first quarter, the Houston Texans played their number one defense. And as you all know, if you saw the game, the Giants weren't very successful during that time. In the second quarter, the Houston Texans played their second team defense, like immediately. The quarter ended in the middle of or when a Giants drive was just beginning, and they pulled all of the starters right then and there. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was actually kind of fly. And it might have been right in the middle of a Texans drive. Actually, I'm 100% sure it was in the middle of a Texans drive. So the time when the Giants came back out, they were going against the second team. Now, why is this significant? Because you had all first quarter to see Daniel Jones and this offense versus the first team. If Daniel Jones is on the field, you know that the rest of the first team offense, especially the offensive line, will be out there, because why would you put Daniel Jones behind some inferior protection with him coming off of a knee injury? Doesn't seem like the best way to protect your quarterback. So what ended up happening was that we got an opportunity to see the entire offense for a full half of football. That's a lot of time in the preseason to evaluate what's going on with the ones, right? But then we also have to keep in mind that they weren't playing against ones in the second quarter. They were playing against twos in the second quarter. So with that being the backdrop, I really want to touch on a few of the things that I saw from Daniel Jones and what I saw from other athletes, mainly on the offensive side, outside of one thing, which I'll get to later defensively. Daniel Jones looked like somebody who hasn't played football in well over a year. Like he threw the ball like someone who was rusty. He sometimes maneuvered in the pocket well, and then other times, like on that pick six, did not maneuver well and therefore like did himself a disservice. He rushed some throws. The protection was good all afternoon, and yet he rushed throws that he didn't have to rush, because if he didn't rush them, he had other throws that were going to be wide open that he could have delivered to a receiver and allowed him to continue going. So I'll start with the positives. The positives are this. If you wanted Daniel Jones to throw the ball downfield deep, then you got Daniel Jones throwing the ball downfield deep. How can you be mad at that? I believe it was a early shot down the sideline to Malik Nabers. Nabers dropped the ball. Tried to go up for it with one hand. If he goes up for it with two hands, it's a completion. If he runs and just lets it fall in, I believe it's a completion because it was one of the better balls that Jones threw all afternoon, right? That was the third pass of the game. That catch could have changed a lot about the dynamics, right? That catch could have changed a lot about the dynamics within that play or within that game. Because if you get a reception there and you keep the drive going, who knows if Daniel Jones gets into a rhythm and now starts, you know, doing what we know he can do, which is hit those curl routes, hit those hitches, hit those out routes, hit those sit routes, hit those crossers. Like, if that was caught, then that gives him an opportunity to continue to go, to continue to get better. So I think that was critical. What I like about it from Nabers is that he was able to make the correction the next time that he got a deep ball down the right side that wasn't thrown well, but he went, well, I shouldn't even say it wasn't thrown well, that wasn't thrown as well as this deep ball was, that he was able to go up and grab with two hands and still get his feet in bounds. So I like the fact that Malik Nabers learned from his mistake. I like the fact that Daniel Jones, you know, cut the ball loose downfield. But all in all, it was two sideline fade balls to Malik Nabers. There was one sideline fade ball to Darius Slayton, and we know that that's the one that went for the 44 yards. Now, on that, I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, it's a great throw. It's not a great throw. It's a good throw. It's not a great throw. A great throw would have been another few yards ahead. Now, Darius Slayton never has to break stride. And even if he had to reach out and extend, it's a touchdown instead of just a 44-yard reception. Because if you're looking, you can physically see on the replay, he has to slow down, right, and wait for the ball to come. And that allows the DB to get back in contact with him, tackle him for, you know, the gain instead of allowing him to get the touchdown. Those are the balls that we keep saying, I don't want to speak for anyone else. Those are the balls that I keep saying that Daniel Jones just needs to trust his arm, throw it out there, and know that he has athletic, speedy wide receivers that can run underneath it and catch it. He's had Darius Slayton for his entire career. There's no reason why he shouldn't trust Slayton to go and get that ball, right? Again, a good pass, not a great pass. So he had two there. He had one to Slayton, and he had one to Jalen Hyatt that he threw. He had two to Jalen Hyatt that he threw. One was an interception. It was a bad pass. No other way around it. And why was it a bad pass? Because there was room for him to throw that ball beyond and in the corner to the sideline, a my guy or no guy ball. Instead, he threw it on a line, which allowed the defensive back who was in trail mode to just turn around and catch the ball. Right? If you're going to allow the defensive back to be running in trail, look back for the ball and go, oh, it's coming directly to me. Boom. Right? It's kind of awful. Now, I do believe that Jalen Hyatt could have helped himself, or not himself. He could have helped his quarterback out there. Number one, he could have jumped back for the ball to go try to get it at his high point because he saw it was coming short. He also could have turned into a defensive back and just went and tried to make a pass breakup so that we live to fight another day. Again, we don't know what the ripple effects are if that pass is not intercepted, right? So, and then the second shot, I guess it really wasn't a deep shot more than it was like a back shoulder throw on the fade ball. The problem with it was that Jalin Hyatt, when he went back for it, he only went back for it with one hand. And because he went back for it with one hand instead of two hands, he went back for it with one hand, which meant one foot. And now when he went to turn, that foot goes out of bounds. It doesn't stay in bounds like you want it to do. That's a problem that Jalin Hyatt will correct. Like, he'll see it the same way that Malik Nabers made the correction. Jalin Hyatt will make that correction. And on the back shoulder fade, you really want to turn and get both hands on it, because now both hands work together. It usually means that both feet work together. And now he can try to keep those toes in bounds. What he really should do is both feet should lock. He should go limp and turn his body and catch it, so that when he catches it with his hands, his body just falls down and his toes drag, right? That is the Chris Carter special. He was phenomenal at it. Davante Adams is phenomenal at it. Like, guys who just know how to work the sideline. And that's something that all of these guys have to get better at. Malik Nabers seems to have the best ability to do it. But everyone can get better at that. But you had to like the fact that at least five times, right, there was the ball was getting pushed deep, right? Because you can't have it both ways, Giants fans. You can't say, hey, we want Daniel Jones to take more shots down the field. And then when he takes more shots down the field, which means that he's going to have more interceptions because you're putting the ball in risk, be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he threw an interception. That's disingenuous. At the end of the day, you should be excited about what Daniel Jones is doing if you believe that he can get better at his placement on these deep passes, if you believe that it can be more consistent. That interception didn't have to occur if a better ball is thrown. The other interception that he threw when he was backed up in the end zone, that to me felt like a panic situation. There were a few times in this game where I felt like he panicked a little bit, like, and maybe panicked is a too strong of a word. Got frazzled. You know, there were times in this game where he looked like he just got a little frazzled. He got a little bit off, and when he did, the offense suffered because of it. It starts with that one pass, right? It starts with that pass in the end zone on the second drive of the game. They backed up. They ran it one time for like a yard, and now it's second. It looks like off of a play action, they're trying to take a shot. Now, here's what I'll tell you about this play action pass that they ran. They've run this play action pass throughout the Brian Daboll era. And every time they run it, it seems like it's a sack or a bad play. Because what they're hoping to have happen is they're hoping that the edge rusher, because it's a zone away, right? So they're zoning everybody away. They're bringing the tight end back across the formation to essentially be the blocker on the backside. The problem is that if the end does not squeeze, right, if the edge rusher does not squeeze, i.e. when Nick Bosa just got a free sack on the Giants because they ran it, I believe against Dallas, they did that. Micah Parsons got a free sack, right? Maybe some of those that you're blaming on Evan Neal, that really isn't his fault. Like, when that happens, if they don't squeeze, which most edge rushers don't do, because their job is to hunt the quarterback and then kill everything else on the way to the quarterback. So they got lucky that the person that was in wasn't a quarterback hunter. The tight end was able to get a little bit of a block on him, but still, there's pressure coming. And so when he reverses out and he sets up, he starts drifting back because he was reversing out, setting up. Wandale Robinson was streaking up the scene on a deep route. So I know that had to have been the first look. He comes down to the check down, which is Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson blocked down to help the tight end coming across. I believe that was Manhurts. Then he went into the flat. If he would have just threw it immediately to Theo Johnson, maybe Theo Johnson just gets tackled. Maybe it's an incompletion. But he clutched for a second because he saw the cornerback driving on Theo Johnson and then threw the ball anyway because he didn't want to get sacked. That's just something that year six you should not be doing if you want to be an elite level quarterback. If you want to be a good quarterback, if you want to be a solid quarterback, you can't have turnovers turn into points immediately, right? That's not something that the Giants are going to be able to live with. They can live with the interception that he threw later to Jalin Hyatt because that just becomes a long punt. You don't want to see it, but you can live with it, right? You can't live with pick sixes because now the Giants are back out on the field, down points, and now they may or may not have to get out of their game plan. This is if it was a regular season, right? They may or may not have to get out of their game plan in order to make sure they try to stay within striking distance of the other team. So those types of interceptions are bad, but it wasn't the only time he got frazzled.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There was a play where they ran. The Wandale Robinson comes in motion on an orbit motion. They fake the handoff to Devin Singletary. Not a lot of pressure, but he sees that everyone's covered, and he immediately throws it to Singletary. But if you're looking at the coverage, you had to be going, who is on the flats to the left? So he throws it to Singletary, but there was somebody looked like that was right there. So if he's looking that way, he sees it. He clicks down to Singletary. What do you think that dude's going to do? Drive on Singletary. He catches it, but it's for a little to no gain, right? If he had just gone, oh, they're covered, and clicked backside to Wandale Robinson, who had ran the opposite side, and he threw it that way, there's nobody over there because everything had been cleared out. That is a part of like being just a little bit frazzled, right? Maybe not panic, but maybe just a little frazzled. That's where being frazzled can really get you in trouble. And not for nothing, if I had to choose between throwing it to Wandale Robinson and letting him get busy, or Devin Singletary and letting him get busy, it's not even close. I'm throwing it to Wandale Robinson. He's a better open field runner than Devin Singletary is. He's more explosive as an open field runner than Devin Singletary is. That's not debatable. Do I want Wandale Robinson running it between the tackles? No. I'm going to pick Devin Singletary every day and twice on Sundays. But if we're talking about running in the open field, Wandale Robinson it is. Then there was another play where there was a mesh concept run. And on the mesh concept, the tight end went and ran like a little sit route about 12 yards down. Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson, I believe, or maybe Jalin Hyatt I'm sorry. It was one of them, though, for sure. They run the mesh concept. And out the backfield, Gray comes on a wheel route. Well, he just turns and immediately throws it to the wheel route, like right now, and then throws a bad ball. But if he had let the wheel route do his job, which was to take that guy that came to get the wheel route, he would have had either Jalen Hyatt or Wandale Robinson, I forget who it was, coming wide open across, and they would have walked into the end zone. Just a little too antsy. And that can be for multiple reasons. That could be because he's used to not having a lot of time. That could just be because he's always kind of been a little bit sketchy in the pocket. Whatever reason it is, it needs to get fixed, because those are the plays where the calm ones, where the guys who perform well under pressure, where they kill you. And you had to do nothing but look to the other side in the first quarter, where C.J. Stroud was operating, and the defensive line, or the front four pass rush, if you want to consider Kayvon Thibodeau an outside linebacker and not what he really is, which is a glorified defensive end, that should never be, you know, out on coverage. They were getting in the backfield. They were creating discomfort. C.J. Stroud just wasn't fazed by it. He was just, okay, you're here, but I'm going to deliver. It's not imminent, so I'm going to deliver this ball. You didn't have to look far to see what you want Daniel Jones to be. And I'm not saying that Daniel Jones can be C.J. Stroud, even though I don't know why he couldn't be C.J. Stroud. Maybe a little more arm talent on Stroud's side, but the thing that sets Stroud apart from Daniel Jones, and maybe this is just because of where he played his ball at, right? He has more calm in the pocket. He's more calm in the pocket. Maybe because Daniel Jones has always, since college at least, had a pocket. Maybe because of that, he doesn't have the comfort, right? He doesn't have the comfort that a C.J. Stroud has, because C.J. Stroud played in an offense with an offensive line that gave him great protection most of the time. Or maybe it's just a mentality that D.J. doesn't have that C.J. has. Either way, you could see what it should look like. And those three plays were significant to me, because those three plays spoke to how erratic Daniel Jones can be when he feels flustered. Even if feeling flustered isn't like necessary. There was one play where he actually handled a little bit of kind of color in his face. It was on a deep curl. Andrew Thomas blocking to the left, his rusher. Decides to take an inside move. So Andrew Thomas just washes him down, and he comes across, and all Daniel Jones does is just kind of shimmied himself to the left, planted, and delivered a ball. That's what it should be all the time, but it's not that all the time. You know it. I know it. Anybody that's defending Daniel Jones knows it. Is he capable of that? That's what I need to know. Is he capable of making that an all-the-time thing? Because if he is, then this offense is going to be fine. Like, but damn the running. I don't think they have a desire to run that much. I think that you're going to see this team throw the ball all over the yard. Right? Short. Boom, deep comeback, or a deep curl, or a deep crosser, a deep out. Boom, a shot down the sideline. You give them one high safety, they're going to take shots. You give them two high safeties, They're going to try to put it on the back shoulder. I believe they are trying to push the ball. This is what Brian Daboll wants to do. And because Brian Daboll wants to do it, it's going to happen. I also think it's interesting that they have fullbacks in their situation now, but stay tuned because I'm going to do a good, great, and ugly on the new fullback addition. I was a little bummed to see that they got rid of Tyree Jackson because Tyree Jackson had a really good first preseason game, and I was looking forward to seeing what he could do in the second preseason game. You know who didn't look particularly impressive? Theo Johnson, right? So, and then I don't really know if a lot of those guys are going to get opportunities for targets, because when do you target them? When you have Wandell, who didn't really get targeted, right? When you have Jalin Hyatt, who received a few targets. When you have Darius Slayton, who got who received, I believe, the second most targets and the most yards and the second most catches. And then Malik Nabers, who was the most heavily targeted receiver. Like, what are you going to do with that? Like, you – but duh, I want to get those four guys the ball. So then where does that leave a Daniel Bellinger? Where does that leave a Theo Johnson? I know one thing, they need better blocking in the passing game out of the tight ends and in the running game out of the tight ends. And so you saw them go and get somebody whose job is going to be like that H-back, fullback type to bring in more blocking. It's a shame because Tyree Jackson didn't really get it, really get the opportunity that he should have, but hopefully he did enough to show and get an opportunity somewhere else. Right? That's always the rub. That's what you always want to see for these young men who are out here trying to make this team. The defensive line was interesting, right? Because, again, like I said when I was talking about Stroud, they were around, right? They were around. But I was really surprised that I did not see them get to Stroud once. Part of that was the game plan from Houston. Quick passes, get the ball out your hands. But then a part of it was them just not winning. And I asked this question, and I go, is this just the preseason? And I asked this question, is this just the preseason? And because it's the preseason, we don't see the dynamics, like the different personnel groupings that we need to see? Or is this truly what we're going to see? Because I really don't need to see Nacho as a pass rusher. To me, it makes zero sense not to get another legitimate pass rusher in the game when you know it's an obvious passing down. Now, whether that is the young boy, Chatham, who went viral because of him chasing down the running back, showing the athleticism, he's short to the ground as a one-gap penetrator, he should be great, right? Or do they take an Azeez Ojulari and bring him down as a three technique, right? And let him cook down there? I don't care what they do. They need to do something, because if the goal is to get pressure with the front four, right? If that's the goal, then nothing else matters. Because if you don't get pressure, legitimate pressure, where the quarterback has to get rid of the ball earlier, if you don't get pressure with the front four, then you leave your defensive backfield to look like they're not good. And I actually thought the defensive backfield played well. I'm going to be in the minority on this, right? But if the job is to bend but don't break, right? Bend but don't break, don't give up anything behind you, rally to the football and make tackles, they did that. They did that. What they didn't get were rush throws from the quarterbacks because they had all day to throw. C.J. Stroud was back there chilling. And if that's going to happen, then guess what? It's going to be some struggles. Like, there are going to be struggles if they are not able to get pressure with that front four. They better have some personnel groups ready. They better have Isaiah Simmons ready to blitz from that nickel spot. They better bring a fifth guy from one of the linebackers, right? They just better. Because you have to get pressure when you decide you're going to play zone coverage behind. The death of zone is time. The death of man is time. Hell, the death of coverage, period, is time. The longer time the quarterback has, the worse it is for the defense. But especially in a more passive, back end, bend but don't break style of defense. I like I said, I thought the defensive backs did what they needed to do. I believe that the running backs played okay. I was a little bit wary about the run game because Singletary, 10 carries for 20 yards is not great, right? But at the same time, you factor in it really wasn't a focus. You're going to hope that gets better. I'll be willing to give them a little bit of grace on that. Offensive line was solid all day. When you're creating pockets, that's all you can ask of an offensive line. So overall, outside of the score and what happened in that first quarter with the offense, or more specifically with Daniel Jones, you know, it's something to build off of. And that's all you can ask for. It's the preseason, and we're still, 20 days away from opening day? Like, we've got time. Like, and that's what you have to tell yourself if you're a Giants fan. We've got time, so I need to be patient. All right? That's all the time I have today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me. As always, New York Giants on SI. Go there for all of your Giants news and information. And until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I've got a Giant issue.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.